Hello and welcome to episode 19 of the Lorefield Podcast, a Starfield lore and news podcast. I'm your co-host Mitch, alongside our wonderful other co-host Lexi.
Hello.
It's always exciting when we get to say this at the beginning of an episode. We have a new Starfield video to analyze, but not from the Game Awards like a lot of us thought. Bethesda faked everyone out, was a no-show at the Game Awards, and then dropped a nifty little six-minute video with Will Shen that we'll be breaking down with you shortly. First, let's set the scene a little for episode 19. Lexi, it's the holiday season, maybe there's a little snow outside, neighbors have their glowy little decorations up. Been playing any games during the end of the year season? Are you doing anything exciting to celebrate?
I 100%ed LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. All the achievements, 100%ed the game. And I never want to play it again. And I've been playing too much Choo Choo Charles. That game, I should be terrified of that train, but I'm not. I have a grand old time in that game.
I've seen a little bit of the game on YouTube, and I just want to say rest in peace, Eugene.
Eugene didn't deserve his fate.
No, absolutely not. I gotta say though, Skywalker Saga, I've kind of wanted to pick it up because I know it's like a huge, I don't know if departure is the right word, but like it's different from the other LEGO Star Wars games. You said you didn't want to play it again, but you want 100% of this. So like, did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. It's just, there's nothing to do for me in the game.
Oh, there's no like end game stuff?
No, once you've 100%ed, it's pretty much just do what you want. You've got all the characters, all the ships, do what you want. No, I don't find the fun in that. I mean, it's LEGO. It's fun for the time you play it, but after you've built it or completed it in this case, you're probably never going to touch that LEGO set again. And unless you're a collector and you like have the basements or attics full of, like, or in some cases, an entire room, and it's like a LEGO city in there. And my only question is, how much money are you making? Like, LEGO's expensive. Must have a good job.
Yeah. I think a lot of them have, like, trading groups and stuff where they can get their sets. But, yeah, point stands. They're not cheap. I'm having a good time. Good holiday break as well. It's good to be home from school for a little bit. I have a little bit of a story, so I live about 1,000 miles from where I go to school. So when I got home, I unpacked all my things and realized that I forgot my 3.5mm Xbox microphone. So I needed to order a new one. I just ordered like a cheap one. It's like $10. And it arrived yesterday. And when I tried to plug it into my headphones, I realized it had this big rubber and plastic guard on it. And it was never going to fit in there. It was impossible. Just geometrically, it wouldn't go. So I was all mad because I spent money on this thing and I couldn't talk to my friends. But I got a knife.
Oh, I got a knife.
I chipped away at the rubber and plastic around the base of the headphone jack, and it looks like a dog found it, but it works. It fits in now, and I've been able to talk to my friends. So, American ingenuity.
Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of news about Starfield, two main bits of information, and we don't really have like a body plan for this episode, so I think it's probably going to be a shorter one. We're recording this on December 23rd, so I'm sure we want to get back with our families and everything. We'll cover the piece of news that warrants less discussion first, and on December 23rd, so just a couple of hours ago, game reviewer and industry expert Okami Games, who previously reported on Arkane Studios' upcoming game Redfall releasing in March of 2023, is now saying that the game has been internally pushed back to June of next year, 2023. And of course, this is a different studio from Bethesda Game Studios, but remember that Starfield and Redfall were both delayed in the same announcement. So when we're desperate for little crumbs of information on Starfield's release date like we are now, Redfall and Arkane Studios is actually one of the best places we can look. So with all that said, now we have to speculate, what does Redfall's supposed release date delay internally mean for Starfield? What do you think, Lexi?
It means Starfield could come out sooner. than Redfall.
What?
No way. Because I think the general, like, consensus was Redfall was always going to come out first. But now, unless Starfield internally has been pushed back to November, which at the moment there's no signs of that, thankfully, we'll see Starfield a bit earlier than we'll see Redfall. But I will be playing both. I probably shouldn't say that on this channel. I will play lots of Starfield and only Starfield.
No, Redfall looks awesome. I'm excited for a truly open world Arcane game. That's super exciting. But yeah, because Redfall's original release date was, I want to say, like August or September of this year.
It was summer.
Summer, okay, so even earlier. And Starfield's, of course, was 11/11. It was just kind of assumed when they both got pushed back to the first half of 2023 that Redfall would be, you know, March and Starfield would be June. But now we have Okami Games, who is, as far as I know, reputable and relatively trustworthy, saying that Redfall is in June. That means either Starfield is pushed into the second half of 2023, which I don't think is very likely, or as you say, maybe Starfield is taking that like March-ish April release date.
Yeah. If you ask me, Redfall should release on Halloween. It's going to be kind of like a thriller, spooky kind of experience, I guess. I mean, it's vampires, right? Some people think vampires are really cool. Other people, like me, find them terrifying. The whole biting of the neck. Ugh, no. So, I don't know. I wish games like that would release on Halloween. They'd be perfect Halloween releases. But I guess it's not a money-making holiday season. And it's kind of close to Black Friday and all that.
Choo Choo Charlie should have released on Halloween.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad it launched when it did.
Yeah, you're right. There is that. So there's the holiday rush, Black Friday and stuff. And then I think there are some games that do pretty well that come out in the summer. But October, late October, is kind of like a dead time because you're not going to be the hot stuff when the holiday shopping comes around. And yeah, I don't know. That's just, it is a shame because Redfall seems like the perfect Halloween game. But maybe you can just wishlist it and get it around then. So there we go. Redfall in June. Starfield still a question mark, but I think this bears well for an earlier Starfield release than we perhaps originally thought. The other news we have is a little bit juicier. On December 15th, Bethesda uploaded Constellation Questions, talking Starfield quests. Community director Jess Finster was joined by Starfield's lead quest designer, Will Shen. Will Shen is a Bethesda veteran. We've talked about him in a couple episodes previously. And depending on who you ask, he is the top candidate as the heir to the Todd Howard throne. He was the lead writer for Fallout 4's Far Harbor expansion, which was very well received by critics and fans alike. And now, as his title suggests, he's in charge of Starfield's quests and is overseeing the main quest line. He had a couple of things to share about Radiant quests, companions, factions, and we're going to dive in. So they first started talking about random encounters. And if you remember from previous Bethesda games, typically, you'll find an NPC along the road. Sometimes they'll fight you. Sometimes it's two people fighting, and you have to pick one side to help. This time, Starfield's equivalent of those encounters is going to be entire locations that can dynamically place themselves on a planet. So they're going up in scale here, kind of proportionally with the map size. The size of the random encounters go up too.
The ambition's going higher and higher. But I wonder what the limitation is. Because there's that famous Todd Howard quote, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. It's not quite as famous as the, it just works, but... Because if there's a, you know, a generated town, right? Does it stay there? Is it unique to you? Is it Like, what's the limitation? Is it random, or is it kind of like No Man's Sky, where it's random, yes, but it's following a formula, so if you go to the same system as your friend, it's the same system for both of you, no matter who arrives there first. It will generate the same way. Or is it truly random generation, where this random town will be nowhere near where it spawned for you, under a different name? And same for the dungeon, where the dungeon, you know, switch places. Or are there like key spots where they can spawn, and depending on the spot, the name, and then it's kind of a bit more predetermined.
You mentioned the limitations, and there were two that came to my mind. One was that they're going to design a town, and it's going to pop up on a planet. Could the look of the town not match the environment of the planet's in? So, for example, they build a village that looks like it's on a very hot planet, so like lots of awnings for shade and stuff, and lo and behold, it's on a frozen, dark Arctic planet. They have controls they can put in place to avoid that. But the other problem I was thinking is repetition. So there are going to be 1,000 planets in the game. There's not going to be 1,000 villages that they handcraft place. I mean, maybe, but I highly doubt it. So hopefully there's some variation, like maybe within the villages themselves, or in the activity that the activity you get from the town can be mixed and matched with other ones to reduce that repetition. But really interesting tech they're using for sure.
Actually, it makes me wonder how much of this is going to transfer to Elder Scrolls 6? Because there was a quote from the other month, or was it this month? It was either a quote or a leak that Test 6 might not be as big as Starfield is.
Oh, what a shocker.
Yeah, I on paper, people, I think we did talk about this on the show. See, it makes sense, right? Starfield is a 50 light year radius of the settled systems. Elder Scrolls always do one province, although we could get two this time. But don't get your hopes up. All they will do is give us a really big map. And again, don't expect like Daggerfall size. I think that's too big. I want to actually complete this game. Especially with... if Bethesda made Daggerfall today, they wouldn't make it the same way. It'd probably be very different. So, like, how much of this tech are they going to carry over? Like, are they going to use... say this tech is based on a formula kind of thing. This can only be placed on this axis of flooring. If not, place somewhere else. Like, it can dynamically place buildings based on a set of instructions. Or if there's no room for it, it won't spawn it. And I don't know. Well, Elder Scrolls, like, I don't know. That if that, say that tech passes on, would that mean that town, it can dynamically change? As in, I don't know. For tests, it would be a bit different. So, I guess the village gets attacked or something, and then you notice a building's gone missing, or like it's been replaced with a ruin, and some of the town folk are a bit upset. I don't know. That's just how I'm viewing. Like, it's interesting technology, and we don't fully understand it. But come launch, people will dissect the way it works.
Yeah, and to your point on this carrying over to Test 6, Will Shen did say they're really only scratching the surface of what this tech can do, almost to imply like they're going to go deeper with it in the future.
Fallout fans are gonna be eating good with Fallout 5.
Yeah, in their retirement homes. So we get these sort of dynamically spawning villages, and these are really what these are. It's like Radiant quests, but they're Radiant locations. They've been drifting away from the Radiant terminology, but it's really what this is. And we can have two locations spawning in tandem. Shen didn't say this explicitly, but I was thinking perhaps you can find one of these villages and they say, oh, one of our people got kidnapped. We think they're in the hideout to the west of here. So then the game will find a place to the west, and then they put a bunch of Crimson Fleet pirates there. That's one way they could do it, and I'm sure they will.
You just gave me a thought that, you know that SpongeBob meme where Patrick thinks west is west, and the game tells you to go, and the game tells you to go, go east, and then you go west, or it tells you to go west, so you go east, but it meant west. I don't know. That'd be funny, because you'd get so mad when it's not there, and you're like, oh, maybe it's a few clicks to the north or something. Nope. Oh, I've gone the completely wrong direction. I just think that'd be funny.
So yeah, there we go. We have those dynamic locations that can spawn radiant locations, I'll call it. I like the radiant terminology, so I'm going to keep using it. We also found out that very early on in the main quest, the game takes us back to Sol, our home solar system, and it's known in the game as the Old Neighborhood. So we used to live there, now we don't. It's the Old Neighborhood.
The one thing that does imply is Earth ain't the central point of power. It's the Old Neighborhood. Earth be making no more laws. Probably.
Yeah, he did say that something has happened on Earth. They've been very intentionally vague about the status of Earth. But yeah, I'm still a big fan of the impact theory. It's gone.
What if it's a virus?
Could be. It was made during COVID.
Wait. Oh, something just popped in my head. There's a thing coming up, or supposedly coming up, called the fertility crisis. The premise is birth rates are going down. And by 2100, there's going to be a massive collapse in the population. And companies are working on technology. I don't know if this was made up or not, but they're building technology so people can have kids without the problems of parenting. So this pod would, from conception, you could alter the genetics of that child and it would have no problems, and you wouldn't have to deal with raising a child, and you could remove quote unquote problems. And I think Neil deGrasse Tyson said the moment you do that is you remove what's special about humanity, because we're all different. But if you're going to make humans perfect, it's, or quote unquote perfect, no deformities or anything, it scratches the wrong bone, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I agree with Tyson all the way on that one. But so you're thinking maybe it's like a self-inflicted genocide.
Maybe the fertility crisis happened and the plan didn't go as well, and the population went down and down. So I don't know. But then you'd have to explain why they would just go to space and that would solve it. Unless it wouldn't. I don't know. Because they were looking towards the future, and this is stuff that's been talked about by Elon Musk. And I can't remember the context. It was a short for Neil deGrasse Tyson on YouTube. So that's just what I remember.
I mean, I think we're in agreement that there's no way they can put Earth in this game. as like a fully explorable planet like the other 999. That just isn't an option.
Well, yeah, with... See, what a lot of people forget is Earth is big and there's a lot of buildings, there's a lot of landmarks. You can't expect Bethesda to have mapped the whole of Earth with all the buildings, and you could land anywhere like on the other planets. That's just... It's impossible. You've got games like Flight Simulator, right? For accurate detail, that's just a streaming thing by Bing Maps, I think. And that game is just focused on the flight. So there's no other things to worry about as a game developer. They're making... So Bethesda are making a space game. Then, I'm sorry, but they're never going to be able to do a one-to-one Earth. So I don't know how they're going to... If we could land on it, I don't know how that's going to work.
That's exactly why I'm so strongly believing in the meteor, just it's completely gone idea, because... Okay, they can put it in the game, but then they have to come up with some way to not allow you to land there. That doesn't make any sense.
Unless there's only one zone you can ever visit. So, let's say with Neon, if the planet Neon's on, like Emil described it, it's a nondescript aquatic world. If Neon's the only platform, I think you're only going to be able to land on Neon. And if there is land... It could be taken, maybe. I don't know. It depends how big the land is, I guess. But if it doesn't have land at all, then there's no way you're landing your ship on water to build your own Neon, I guess. You'd have to land on Neon, and that would be it. So unless it's kind of like that idea, there's only one section of Earth you can physically visit. And it's only a small area. I don't know. To do Earth, like the other planets, it's just, there's too much history here. You gotta think about, is it even possible?
I would say what has happened to Earth is probably near the top of my list of questions about the game still remaining. But we live in Sol, and there's a lot of other planets too. So we've got moons of Venus, or moons of Jupiter. Jupiter are the ones that are solid you can land on and stuff. Maybe Venus has some too, I don't know. But the game will take us to Cydonia in Mars. So it was confirmed by Will Shen that Cydonia is a full-fledged city in the game and that it is on Mars. So most people sort of inferred that, but now we know, yes, Cydonia is the fourth city that we've heard about. The city is mostly underground, and this is really cool because a real Martian colony would need to be subterranean because the Martian atmosphere doesn't provide much protection from solar radiation. So Bethesda's done the research there. Very good job. And Cydonia is underground, and it is the fourth city.
No Martians. We didn't find Martians then.
No, not yet. So yeah, Cydonia looks really cool. It's this big, here's my episodal Star Wars reference. It reminds me of Utapau from Revenge of the Sith. That big sinkhole. Is that in the Skywalker saga? Utapau?
Which one's that?
It's a city that's basically just a giant pit. And the city is like, lines the walls.
I don't remember.
It's a pretty cool city, but that's kind of what Cydonia reminds me of. It's just this giant pit that people built a city into. And it looks like the pit was probably excavated rather than like naturally found and we just built into it, but still.
It's kind of interesting to me because that staircase, you'd always have to I'm going to be that player that just jumps down the hole.
Why didn't it even cross my mind that we'll be able to do that?
It will make things easier, but getting out is gonna, you're still gonna have to use the stairs. So I get it's realistic, but goddamn stairs.
Maybe you can fully upgrade your jetpack and get out of there.
By the way, that's not an actual like complaint, as if I'm moaning. I just think it's funny. I'm going to jump down the hole and complain when I have to walk up the stairs.
Like most video game protagonists, we'll have very strong legs.
Yes. You'll be able to run marathons without your player crawling on the floor at the end and passing out for a few hours. You just wake up on the Martian surface with a smoggy helmet from all that heavy breathing. That'd be funny.
Yeah. I still want to know if more oxygen-rich planets will give you more stamina. Because they should.
Okay. So I don't know how much you know this, but oxygen will determine arthropod sizes. So if there's anything like insects on a world where there's more oxygen, they're going to be bigger. Let's just hope there's no arachnids.
Yeah, so does that mean there's a lot of oxygen in Australia?
I mean, there's a massive hole in the ozone there. I don't know. I think that's just temperature-based. Dragonflies used to be like the size of your dog. Like a big dog. I just brought up that interesting fact because you brought up there'll be more oxygen-rich planets. Here's another thing, though. What if the atmosphere is that oxygen-rich that if you went to go and light a match, everything just combusts?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Will fire spread? Yeah, that's a great question. You had the oil slicks in Skyrim, or whatever the heck that was. It's, you know, fire spread when you used flames on them.
Yeah, people forget oxygen is flammable in high concentrations. Well, I don't know if people forget, but you certainly don't think about it because we breathe in oxygen, we exhale carbon dioxide, and then nature breathes in carbon dioxide and breathes out oxygen. This is why we need the trees, everyone.
Yeah, nice little symbiosis we've got with the trees. I forget how many trees it is that you need to compensate for the oxygen intake and CO2 output of one human, but it's a lot.
Certainly is.
One thing I really want to do in Starfield, I doubt we'll be able to do this, but I would love flammable like buildings and stuff so I can burn down like a farmer's hut.
Mitch, why would you do that?
I mean, this is the same guy that said he was going to make his parents fight to the death in the game.
Yes. So. And your dad watches this.
Yeah, I know. I got a text about that after that episode went up. But
oh, no.
Yeah, that's what's so fun about Bethesda games. You can be a horrific person if you want. Like during the Fallout 4 demo, the player was talking to Codsworth and Todd Howard's like, you can help him if you want. You can walk away if you want. You can shoot him in the face. I think it's awesome.
I think they also talked about you're going to be judged a lot more for your actions. Unlike Fallout 4, we could... It depends. There's like certain points where points of no return and certain companions will hate you. But it's not like as if they're actually reacting. It's like a script. Well, that's just how I see it anyway.
We don't have much planned for this episode, so I think this might be a great time to have a little discussion about like morality in Starfield, because there seems to be a lot going on there between companions will dislike or like certain things you do, factions, the same thing. You're presented with more choices. Morality is always something that's like, you can get good rewards from doing a bad thing. You know what I mean? So I don't really know where I'm going with this, but there just seems to be a lot of emphasis on morality in Starfield.
Yeah, like in Fallout 4, you could be as sarcastic as you want, and or you could be as evil as you want. And companions would still follow you and like, well, I mean, your relationship with them would be low if they don't like it, but they won't walk off until a certain event in the game triggers. Well, eventually the companion will leave you and then tell you you need to be a bit more good. But they'll come back with you. It's just, it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel immersive, I guess. They are reacting to your choice, but they don't remember, because 2 hours later when they're back traveling with you, they like you again. It's like nothing happened. So, I don't know, in Starfield, the companion could go, when you did this, I have this strong distrust with you now. And that will follow through my gameplay because I did something they absolutely despise. And they remember that. So later on, they'll judge me for that. And then I'll feel like, holy shit, this is immersive. Or more immersive than how it was in Fallout 4.
So Will Shen also talked about the main quest in Starfield a little bit, and he didn't go into details about, you know, storylines, but he did talk about the way it will interact with factions in the game. And he was asked whether we can join all factions or if joining a faction will lock off some of the others, like in Fallout 4. Recall in Fallout 4, you kind of had to pick which faction you wanted to complete the main quest in, and that would lock you out from all the others. And it sounds like the game will... The word Will Shen used was give us a tour of all the major players in the settled systems. So you'll hop around and be introduced to all of these factions, and then you'll be able to join all of them. There will be none that are locked out because you joined another one. So no Skyrim Civil War sort of thing going on there. So I kind of like this. Like it sounds like the main quest will do like a mile wide, inch deep look at all the factions. And then it's up to the player to go into the faction quest lines themselves to go deeper.
I think that's a good interpretation, to be honest. Because I think there will be a point where you will have to make a decision. You're going to probably end up at a crossroad if the factions are as heavily tied to the main quest as they were in Fallout. So, yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and he went on to say that within each faction is where the player can make choices and influence, you know, the direction of the factions. And he used the example of the Freestar Rangers. The player can apparently choose what is valued more between justice and industry. So maybe we find something dirty going on with a corporation and we can let it slide or jail the top gun of the corporation. But, yeah. I'm glad that they're finding a way to let us experience all the faction content and also still have an impact on them in a meaningful way.
I will sabotage the Freestar Collective and all make right. Sure the United Colonies get all the praise.
Okay.
And I'm guessing you're going to do the complete opposite.
Yeah, I'm going to try to... invade New Atlantis with the Freestar Collective.
That would be funny.
That would probably be terrible.
You get shot out of the sky, but your capital ship manages to crash in like that big building in New Atlantis.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think that would go well for the Freestar Collective.
No, it wouldn't go very well at all. A direct assault is like, I guess, suicide. And that goes for the UC going just straight to Aquila City. I think it's suicide either way.
They'd lose a lot of folks, but I think they would probably be successful if they sent enough force.
Counterpoint, the United Colonies could have the same idea and send their ships to Aquila City. So The Freestar capture New Atlantis, and the United Colonies capture Aquila City.
Oh no, I was actually going against my own faction. I'm saying I don't think Freestar collected.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Freestar can get New Atlantis no matter what they do. But I don't think the opposite is true. I think with enough people, the United Colonies could probably take Aquila City.
Probably. I think it might be a bit controversial to do that politically. So, as we know, politics run the world. So I don't think a political power would just do that. Especially if it's a democracy.
Sort of tying into the discussion of morality and wars closely related to morality as well. So the last big notable thing that Wilshen talked about was companions and their interaction with the main quest. So during main quest decision making, companions will often add their opinions or suggestions on what you should do. So your choice will then impact your relationship with that companion. If you do what they don't like, then they'll like you less, sort of thing. And if there's a decision that you aren't sure about, you can actually turn to your companion and say, like, handle this for me, and they will do a persuasion check or they'll make a decision for you, and you'll have to deal with the consequences of that. Wilshen also added that the companions will do the standard Bethesda companion functions, like fighting in combat alongside you, taking your things, going over there and waiting here, that sort of thing, and they will crew the ship. So that's a little detail that we weren't sure about, the differentiation between crew members and your companions. We now know that, yes, your companions can crew the ship. So that's everything we learned in Constellation Questions, Talking Starfield Quests. Lexi, did you have any closing thoughts just about this new video? 6 minutes.
No closing thoughts.
Give us the next one. All right, then. I think we can move on to recommendations then. I think I went first last time, so... No, you did. But you go first again. Merry Christmas.
I'm going to recommend Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. It's a very fun game. If you grew up on Lego, this is just the complete saga, but bigger. And if you don't like the voice acting, which all modern Lego games have, there's a mumble mode in the extras that is unlocked by default, and that will make them all Lego mumblers again, in place of the voice acting. Get that bit of nostalgia. It's a really fun game. If you love Lego, you'll love this game. Oh, that's shouldn't be too much of a surprise. And you get to play all 9 Star Wars films. Or if you don't like the sequels, just play Episode 1, 2, or 6. You can't go wrong with the game. It's very fun. I 100%ed it, I said earlier. Yeah, definitely recommend the Skywalker Saga.
Nice. I did not know about the mumble mode. That's huge. That's a game changer. So it's in the extras unlocked by default, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Are the extras normally like you have to do a certain thing, like, yeah, and then you unlock
most of them are, but there are stuff like that.
Okay. That's awesome. Great pick. I'm glad they didn't just copy paste the complete saga over into this one. They like redid them, made them more modernized and stuff.
So, oh yeah. Like in the complete saga, the levels are so short. But that was made for the Xbox 360 and that. It's over 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, great pick. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, as you know, so yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I'm going to recommend two things, taking a page out of the Red Wolf playbook. By the way, Red Wolf, you are welcome on the show anytime. Just, I know you're a busy guy, but just reach out to us if you want to come back on. We'll be happy to have you. My first recommendation is going to be Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's one we talked about during our Earth discussions a little while ago. I thought I'd recommended it before, but I'm looking on my sheet here and I apparently have not. And it is, you really just need to play it for, just to admire the technological achievement that it is, because the detail with which you can explore the entirety of planet Earth is just mind-boggling. And you can do it with real-time weather for wherever you are, real-time air traffic for wherever you are, plus, like, MMO-style multiplayer. You can see all other players. It's unbelievable what they did, what Microsoft Studios did. And it is like 120 gigabytes, but even if you just mess around for a couple hours, fly over your house, it's incredible.
That is a very good pick. I actually couldn't find my house. I kept flying over it. I couldn't find it. I tried to simulate a crash landing, and I went through like a couple hundred trees. Wasn't what I was expecting, but...
As good as the Earth model is, sometimes it does mess up like where certain buildings are, what they're shaped like.
Actually, with that game, I heard... If you set your flight date for September 11th, 2001, and go to New York, I believe you get banned.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what I heard, and I could be remembering what was said wrong. That's what I heard. Because...
That's wild.
It makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's only one reason you'd go to that date.
Yeah, that's not what the game's meant for.
No. Sorry, that was just a thing I heard about the game.
Yeah. Play Microsoft Flight Simulator, but just be sure not to do that.
Definitely don't do that. I just thought that was an interesting fact to say.
Yeah, I went to the game.
I wouldn't try it. But I can't remember the context I heard it in. It was a video, I guess, talking about waste. Must have been talking about bans or something. Things you can get banned for. But that's kind of strange. People would want to do that anyway. But yeah. Just an interesting fact, I guess, about the game.
Yeah, I do have a second pick, and that is going to be a game that came out on Game Pass December 13th, and it was a smash hit that came out of nowhere. High on Life. This was the most played third-party Game Pass game ever. It's absolutely crushing it on Xbox. It's a first-person shooter, single-player, created by Justin Roiland, who was the writer and kind of mastermind behind Rick and Morty. I have not seen Rick and Morty, so this is my first interaction with any of Justin Roiland's work. The shooting feels good. I have to say there's some parts that really get me laughing. The guns have faces and they talk to you. So when you like ADS, there's two eyeballs staring at you on your gun. Basically, the premise is that aliens come to Earth because they found out they can get high off of eating humans. So you have to save the human race. It's silly, it's goofy, but it's really funny, and it's a decent shooter. So, yeah, High on Life.
Good pick.
Thanks. I think with that, then, we've reached the end of episode 19. It's a short one, but give people a little break for the holidays.
Holy, Christmas Eve tomorrow, I forgot.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the clock. So I get to open my presents at midnight. I've got to sound like a kid when I say that.
Oh, cool.
I just open mine at midnight. Some would say that would kill the fun. Why would I wait 8 hours just to open? It's technically the 25th. You can't stop me, Mom.
I love the holidays. Love Christmas.
I keep getting called Scrooge.
What? You seem super excited about it.
I'm always excited for the gifts. And spending time with family. Well, it's, I don't know. I think Christmas has lost some of its magic, I guess. It's all about money.
I think that realization sort of came when I had to buy the gifts, and I realized, wait a minute, this is just everyone giving their money to big companies.
Yeah, it's a really expensive time for the... It's even a big thing for Coca-Cola. They have that ad that they've been playing for like the past 20, 30, 40 years. With like the Christmas vans. Not vans, trucks, you'd call them. But do you have that ad in America? Well, I guess commercial in the US.
Vans and trucks are two different things in America.
I mean truck like trailer.
Oh, like a lorry?
Yeah, lorry, yeah. That's just a weird word. I've always found that weird.
We call them tractor trailers. That's not much better.
Oh, God. That's... I don't know. I just assumed you called them trucks. Because you call people truckers, right?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on your state.
Yeah, there's a little bit of regional stuff to it.
Yeah, they play that Coca-Cola ad. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, the only one I can think of is with the polar bear.
No, they've had one that they've been playing for like decades. Obviously remastered or remade. I don't know what they do. Because the footage is really good now.
What the hell is this?
Wait, what are you watching?
I'm watching the Coca-Cola Christmas truck commercial.
What, he's driving through a town or something?
Yeah, through like snowy mountains.
It drives through a village and there's like a boy that runs behind it or something.
Oh, there's Santa running through a parking lot.
What? I don't know if you're watching the right one.
I think there are a few. Oh, here we go. Now Santa's moving on the back of the truck. Holidays are coming. This is great content.
It's fun. I can't hear anything. Well,
can you hear that?
Yeah. I feel like we're going to get a copyright strike.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's see what you can do in editing.
Okay. How have I never seen this?
Yeah, you must play it in the US, right? Well, you
sure
must have an equivalent. Yeah.
Someone commented, I don't know about you guys, but I always get the chills running down my spine. This is my favorite Christmas advert of all time. I've never seen this.
Coca-Cola, one of the leading causes of tooth rot.
Thank you for giving me that little bit of TV history.
You're welcome. 19 episodes, wow.
Yeah.
And half of those haven't had any news relations.
That's right.
We will become a proper law show when they grace us with the sweet, juicy law in full and not the table scraps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tales from the Settled Systems is still happening. I have a very early script for the second installment of that, so still a few weeks out from that at least, but there will be more of those. And wow, just, it's the end of the year, so it's a good time for reflection and stuff. Just think about like the first episode we did where I was using my Xbox gaming headset to record the podcast. I think that was the first one or two episodes.
And I was using Windows Movie Maker to actually edit.
Really?
Yeah. For the first two, episodes were on Movie Maker, and I had to render the whole thing twice. Once I was editing the footage, and the next time I made it an audio file, set an image to play for like the length of the video, and then put the recently rendered audio into the audio bar, and then render it again. So there's an overlay. I had to use Movie Maker hacks.
Wow, that's funny. How far we've come.
How far we've come indeed.
Alrighty. So, that was episode 19 of the Lorefield Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at LorefieldNet, where we share news, analysis, and finds relating to the game. You can also join us at the Lore subreddit, r/Lorefield. We're always looking for new members, and that'll be a great place to discuss lore as we get closer to release. We're on YouTube as Lorefield, and you can subscribe for all of our podcasts and some other video content, such as more Tales from the Settled Systems. We have a Discord, so you can join us and some wonderful members of the Starfield community for lore discussion and more. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye, all.